Hannah tried to concentrate on her knitting. Her arthritis always bothered her knotted fingers, but the illness was making it especially severe. It had been days, and she wasn't getting any better. In fact, she felt like she was getting worse by the minute. She sighed and closed her eyes.
"Who is it?"
Hannah feebly called out.
"It's me, Red, your granddaughter. Please open up."
Hannah furrowed her brow. Her granddaughter's voice sounded quite strange, but maybe that was just the sickness making her hear funny.
"Let me in! The door is locked!"
Red cried. Well, she was certainly being insistent. Hannah coughed again, too weak to get up and open the door.
"Pull the bobbin and the latch will come up."
Hannah looked up from her knitting to greet her sweet granddaughter.
"You're not Red. Get out of here,"
Hannah ordered, trying to sound intimidating, but she was feeble, terrified.
"Stay away."
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today I'm sharing one of the most well-known fairy tales of all time, Little Red Riding Hood. Almost everyone knows the story of the young girl who goes to her sick grandmother's house one fateful afternoon. The innocent girl encounters a predatory wolf, but is saved by a huntsman in the nick of time. This is not that version. Today we'll be sharing the earliest written version recorded by famous French fairy tale author Charles Perrault. Although it wasn't written down until the late 17th century, oral versions of Little Red Riding Hood were shared between peasants for hundreds of years prior, dating back as early as the 10th century. Variations of Little Red Riding Hood are found all over the world. Some are close to its French home, like in Norway and Italy, but there's even a version of the story in Thailand, and it involves a duplicitous tiger instead of a wolf. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the story of Little Red Riding Hood involves gruesome murder and sexual themes. Please exercise caution for children under 13. If you want to hear more tales, you can find all of Parcast's podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Many of you have asked how to help the show. If you enjoy Tales, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. Little Red Riding Hood was a beautiful, well-bred young girl who lived in a picturesque village. She was so pretty and sweet that everyone who met her quickly doted on her. When she was small, Red's grandmother sewed her a beautiful red hooded cape. Red loved her grandmother and adored the red cape. She wore it every day, rain or shine. Soon after, her mother started calling her Red, and it stuck. Red bounded into the kitchen, smelling something delicious.
"Good morning, Mother. What smells so delightful this morning?"
She smiled up at her mother, whose brow was knit into an uncharacteristic frown. Red furrowed her own brow.
"What's wrong?"
Red was not used to seeing her mother upset.
"Grandmother is not doing well, my love,"
Red's mother said, and tussled the curls on Red's head.
"She's quite ill."
Red leaned in and hugged her mother tightly.
"Oh no! Is there anything I can do to help?"
she asked.
"I baked your grandmother her favorite treats. She's alone up in the woods and refuses to come stay with us. She can be so stubborn, even when she's under the weather."
Red's mother shook her head.
"Grandmother should definitely come to our house,"
Red agreed.
"We will take care of her."
Red's mother pinched her daughter's cheek affectionately.
"Well, that's why I thought that you could go over and perhaps convince her to come stay with us for a little while."
Red nodded her head vigorously and grabbed her signature red cape hanging from the wall.
"I'll go straight away."
Her mother bundled the fresh, delicious-smelling cake in a basket and shoved in a jar of butter for good measure. She handed it to Red.
Now take care to be safe and don't talk to strangers. Red laughed.
Of course not. Who would want to harm me anyway?
She flashed her most winning smile. Little Red Riding Hood loved the walk to her grandmother's house. It was one she knew well. The winding path led her deep into the surrounding forest, swallowing her whole as soon as she entered. It was sometimes a dark walk, even during the day, as the forest was dense, creating an almost impenetrable blanket of pine and aspen that often made it appear like midnight at noon. Red didn't mind the dim light, though. The birds would chirp, and she liked spotting little red-capped toadstools dotting the logs. She delighted in discovering wild blueberry bushes in hidden pockets, growing with abandon. She munched on the succulent little fruits as she meandered along the winding path, losing track of time. As she rounded a bend into a thick grove of ferns, Red heard a tree behind her shake. She turned around to see if there was a rabbit or squirrel afoot. She paused. She didn't see anything. Now it sounded like something skittering away. Red squinted her eyes. Perhaps it was a fox or a bear cub. Or maybe it was one of the woodcutters who were often in this part of the wood.
Who's there?
Red whirled around and called into the wooded darkness behind her. She heard a movement in the opposite direction and whirled around again. Red never got nervous in the woods, but now she couldn't help but get the feeling that she was being watched, or more unnerving, followed. Red paused. Nothing more. She shook her head and laughed it off.
Silly me. What could possibly be here to frighten me? I know every nook and cranny of this forest.
Red shivered. She turned back towards the path to her grandmother's house and pushed her shoulders back, trying to appear strong and confident, just in case there was someone or something watching her from the shadows. Red tried to appear nonchalant and whistle a bright, chipper tune, but she couldn't shake the feeling that someone was spying on her, gazing upon her like a piece of meat. She knew that she was still a ways away from her grandmother's house, and she quickened her step.
Hello there.
We'll return to Little Red Riding Hood after this short message. Now back to the story. A large wolf suddenly leapt out in the path in front of her. Red's heart skipped a beat, and she almost fainted at the surprise. The wolf smiled, a smile full of sharp, glittery teeth. It was a handsome smile, and he flicked his tail playfully. Red laughed at the gesture. Here was someone ready for fun. His fur was lustrous silver that glinted majestically, even in this dim forest light. He had keen, penetrating eyes that observed Red carefully. Red thought he looked very smart. She had never met a wolf in these woods before, and she was very excited to make a new acquaintance.
"Hello there, wolf. My name is Red," she said.
The wolf grandly bowed and apologized for frightening her. He was quite dashing, Red thought. Gallant. Handsome, even. Red shook her head and smiled, assuring him that it was okay.
"I thought I had heard someone earlier. Maybe it was you."
"Indeed, I saw you back there and thought you might have lost your way. I was coming over to see if you needed assistance."
Red laughed amiably.
"Well, that solves that mystery. A pleasure to meet you."
She curtsied with charming formality.
"And I'm not lost at all. I'm on my way to my grandmother's house. I've passed through this way many times."
So you're not afraid to be out here, all by yourself?"
the wolf asked incredulously. He reached out and touched her arm protectively, and it gave Red a thrill. She had never been touched like that before. Red shook her head adamantly. "Not at all." The wolf took a step towards the little girl and asked how far away her grandmother lived. Red thought for a moment.
"Not too terribly far," she answered. I just have to go beyond the mill, up the ways in the glen, and then straight on into the village. She's the very first house as you come out of the woods. You can't miss it. My grandmother is not feeling well, and I'm going to bring her favorite cake.
The wolf nodded politely, listening to her instructions carefully.
You're a very sweet girl, he remarked.
Red beamed and thanked him. The wolf grinned back.
What rosy cheeks you have when you smile.
Red blushed further and looked away at the bold compliment. As Red cast her eyes downwards, the wolf took a step forward. The young child was all alone, utterly helpless. He was starving, and she would make the most delicious treat. He began to salivate. He took another step towards her. No one could save her now. No one would hear her scream. The wolf took another step towards Red, who still was shyly looking down. Even better for the wolf. She wouldn't see anything coming. He lifted a massive claw to strike her down. She was the easiest prey he had ever seen. Both the wolf and Red quieted at the nearby sounds of humans. Red turned her head. The wolf gazed at her tiny neck as she did. She didn't know that he could see a vein pulsing gently, and he wanted to sink his teeth into it.
Oh, look, Red pointed. It's the woodcutters. I had thought I had heard them earlier.
The men were close. Red and the wolf could see their red shirts between the trees. Red turned back to the wolf and smiled. The wolf smiled back innocently, as if he hadn't just been about to have her for lunch.
They're always quite friendly when I see them. Shall we go say hello?
Red asked. The wolf considered.
Actually, I have a game we can play.
I love games.
Red responded eagerly and clapped her hands. The wolf smiled mischievously.
Good, good. Here's how it will go. I will race you to your grandmother's house. You go down the path as you were, and I'll take a route off the beaten path. We'll see who gets there first. First one to arrive gets to have the first bite of cake.
Splendid! Cried Red.
They both exchanged mirthful smiles.
Go!
Yelled the wolf, and quickly hopped over a bush, disappearing in thick bramble. Red raced as quickly as she could, tripping over a knotted root just barely poking up above the ground. Red took a hard tumble, but she laughed. She had never encountered anyone so fun in the woods, and she was having a marvelous time, scrapes and all. She zipped past the mill in the glen, almost knocking over a poor old miller who had not expected a young girl to be careening by. Red laughed an apology, delighting at the near collision. What reckless fun! As Red rounded the bend, she finally saw her grandmother's light blue cottage, its twee-thatched roof and brick chimney visible through the trees. Getting a second wind, Red ran even faster. When she arrived, she was completely out of breath. She collapsed against the white wooden fence to stop from feeling dizzy. Finally, coming back to normal, she gazed out across the rose-covered yard. She didn't see the wolf anywhere. She had won.
Grandmother!
She cried, dashing over and peeking into the windows, but the curtains were drawn. It was dark inside. Well, that made sense. Her grandmother was ill and most likely resting. Red was confident she had beaten the wolf here. He was nowhere in sight, and certainly she had the easier jaunt with the clear, trodden path. She hurried to the rounded wooden door and knocked. Red called again for her grandmother, hoping that she could wake her up now. She knocked harder.
Grandmother?
Red was starting to get concerned. The house was dark and there were no signs of life. Had something terrible happened? Red knocked harder and harder, but no one answered. Was she too late?
Grandmother!
Red cried, fearing that she hadn't arrived in time. Her grandmother could be dead, and there was nothing she could do to help. Red continued to pound away at her grandmother's darkened door. She had to get in there, even if she had to break down the door. We'll continue the adventure of Little Red Riding Hood in just a moment. Now back to the story. Outside her grandmother's house, Red began to search for another way in. As her eyes scanned the house for an unclasped window, she suddenly heard the tiniest of noises. Red pressed her ear against the door. She thought she heard something.
"Red, is that you, dear?"
A garbled, strange voice emerged from the depths of the cottage. Her grandmother sounded terrible indeed, not like herself at all.
"Yes, Grandmother. Are you okay?"
Red kept her ear pressed to the door. Her voice was faint and strained. Red yanked and pushed on the door, but it wouldn't open.
"Grandmother, come to the door. I can't get in."
After a few moments, the old woman's soft, strained voice returned.
"Pull the bobbin and the latch will come up."
Red looked up and saw a bobbin dangling from a rope above her. Red jumped up and grabbed the bobbin. As she yanked it back down towards her, the latch on the door released and the door opened up. Finally, she stepped inside. It was dark, spooky, as if her grandmother had been gone for days. No signs of life anywhere. No signs of life, except for the persistent ticking of a cuckoo clock mounted on the wall.
"Grandmother?"
Red called out. Her voice was small and hollow and echoed in the stone entryway.
"Back here, my child,"
the quavering voice called from the back of the house. Red tiptoed down the hallway.
"I brought you some treats. Mother baked them for you."
Her voice was shaky. She didn't know why. Something was strange. Off.
"Come, come."
The voice beckoned her even further into the musty cave of her grandmother's bedroom. When Red arrived at her grandmother's bedroom, she saw the door slightly ajar. She slowly pushed it open, unsure what state she would find the sickly woman in. As Red peered in, she had trouble adjusting to the dim light. She could barely even see her grandmother. She was under many sheets and blankets, just a lump amongst the pillows. Her eyes were barely visible under her sleeping cap. She must be quite sick, Red thought. She moved toward the bed cautiously. Red looked down to see what she had stepped in, but her grandmother snapped at her for her attention.
"Get in bed with me, I'm so cold,"
begged her grandmother. Red looked away from her shoe and back at her grandmother. It was a pleasant day outside, and a bit stuffy in the home. It made no sense to Red why her grandmother would have buried herself under so many layers. But Red didn't want to argue with a sick old lady. Red hung up her red riding cape on a wooden peg on the wall and turned to get into bed.
"Take off your clothes," her grandmother ordered.
"What?"
Red asked, taken aback. She was not used to anyone seeing her naked. Her grandmother chided.
"Those clothes are certainly soiled and dirty from you traipsing about the wood. Take them off before you get into bed with me. I don't want dirt or bugs in here."
"Very well, Grandmother,"
Red said hesitantly. Red had never been asked to take off her clothes before, and she thought it an odd request. She felt a little bashful, but she loved cuddling with her grandmother and was happy to make her happy while she was feeling unwell. As soon as Red crawled into the sheets, her grandmother enveloped her tightly in her arms. Even though she wasn't well, Red couldn't help but notice her grandmother felt profoundly muscular.
"Grandmother, what big arms you have,"
Red said as she felt the breath almost get choked out of her.
"The better to hug you with, my dear,"
she said, so close to her ear, Red felt like her grandmother's tongue was caressing her earlobe. Red almost gagged. Her grandmother's breath was putrid, feral, like her teeth were decaying. Red wanted to pinch her nose, but her arms were pinned against her in her grandmother's embrace. Grandmother wrapped a leg around Red to pull her in even closer. Red could feel grandmother's weight sucking her further into the mattress.
"Grandmother, what big legs you have!"
she gasped.
"All the better to run with, my child," the woman whispered in her ear and laughed a low, sinister laugh.
She squeezed Red's legs, running her fingers in between Red's thighs. It sent a shiver down Red's spine. Why was grandmother acting so strange? Was the fever making her delirious? Grandmother snuggled closer, and the sleeping cap slipped off her head. How had Red never noticed how large her grandmother's ears were?
"Grandmother, what big ears you have!"
Her grandmother loosened her grip around Red's body to stroke Red's hair. She played with the curls, twisting them around her finger.
"The better to hear you with, my dear," she said.
Red reached out to touch her grandmother's pointy ears, but her grandmother recoiled.
"Don't touch me," she snarled.
It was so dark in the curtained room, but Red could still make out sharp white teeth, glowing and menacing in this dim light.
"Grandmother, what big teeth you have,"
Red remarked nervously.
"The better to eat you with."
She licked Red's face. It was hot and slimy and made Red feel uncomfortable. She didn't want to be rude, but it was getting hard to breathe. She pushed away. Her grandmother frowned. Then, grandmother pounced on Red with sudden agility and speed. Pinned under grandmother's full weight, Red gasped in shock. She squirmed, but it only pressed her naked body closer to grandmother's. Red and her grandmother both startled at the loud noise. Grandmother jumped off of Red. Both looked to where it had come from in the corner of the room. The wardrobe door had flung open, and something heavy had fallen out. Red peered over the side of the bed and saw the haunting, expressionless eyes of her grandmother gazing up at her. How could her grandmother be on the floor? She turned slowly and looked at who she was naked in bed with. Her nose brushed up against the wet snout of an animal. She could make out the sharp, contoured angles of the face now, the heavy breathing. She was in bed with the wolf. Red could not stop screaming. This couldn't be real.
"Grandmother!"
Red cried. She jumped out of bed and ran to her grandmother's limp body. The floor was covered in blood. That's what she had stepped in when she had walked in the room. The wolf leapt out of bed after her, ripping off the nightgown, revealing his powerful, muscular frame. The same sinewy wolf she had met in the woods, and whom she'd given explicit directions here. What a fool she had been.
"Wake up! I'm here! I'm here to help you!"
Red screamed as she shook her grandmother's body. Maybe she was still alive. But as Red turned the body over, she could see that the woman was dead. And the wolf had picked her clean over. Her abdomen had been gutted wide open. The ribs were exposed. Random pieces of guts were all that remained. Her grandmother's face was locked in an expression of terror. Red wiped the tears from her eyes. She had to get out of here. Not bothering to grab her cape or any of her clothes, she ran towards the front door. But the wolf was already ahead of her, bolting it shut. She ran to the kitchen where she knew she could find a window that would let her out into the garden. Flustered, she couldn't find the latch. But as she struggled to unlock the window, she saw the huntsman walking nearby without a care in the world after a day's work.
"Help!"
Red screamed at the top of her lungs, but the men disappeared, walking further and further away. The wolf crept up behind her, his prey cornered. Red turned to face him, still naked and cowering against the window.
"Please, let me go,"
she begged.
"Please, I'll do whatever you want. Just let me live."
The little girl started trembling, shaking. She began to pray. The wolf set a hairy claw on her foot and opened his wide maw. The little girl wore a new cape now, one made of red blood. Through and through, Little Red Riding Hood is a morality tale. This story was created for young girls to learn the ever-present dangers of unknown men. Stories like this taught them to never talk to strangers, to show that men are predators who will lure them into bed and take their virginity, to teach them that terrible things will happen if they aren't chaste and pure. To get naked with a wolf is to lead to disaster and ruin. There are also theories that the wolf in the fairy tale is not just a magical element created as a metaphor, but based on a real person, perhaps a warlock-type individual who practiced the dark art of werewolfry. In the 16th century, a farmer by the name of Peter Stump was found guilty of insatiable bloodlust, and he confessed to horrific acts of rape, murder, and cannibalism, including on women and children, some unborn. His nickname was the Werewolf of Bedburg. Imagining the wolf as a cannibal convicted of witchcraft puts an even more chilling spin on this haunting story of a little girl victimized by a wolf. Thanks for listening to Tales. If you want to listen to more episodes of Tales or Parcast podcasts, you can find all of Parcast's podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast directory. Some listeners have been asking how to help the show. Well, if you enjoy the show, the best way to do that is to leave a 5-star review. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusek. I'm Vanessa Richardson.